a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Senate State Affairs will come to order. Secretary, you call the roll. Here. Quorum is present. Is there any discussion or action corrections on the minutes? Motion by Teason, seconded by Frerich. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. By way of announcements, first of all, before our page is beckoned out of the room, we'll have our two pages stand up and introduce themselves.
My name is Kara Fishback, and I am from Millett.
My name is Sadie Stevens, and I'm from Yankton.
Thank you. Thanks for your help. Just a few reminders. You might check your cell phone if you haven't already and make sure they're in an appropriate setting. Also, if you wish to testify today, we'd ask that you sign at the podium by the front door. Also, a reminder to the committee and to those that wish to testify or give response to questions that we are live via the Internet, so any testimony or responses should be given in front of a live mic, if you would. This is the next to the last meeting of the Senate State Affairs. Monday will be our final opportunity for a meeting. We are going to defer a couple bills from today into Monday, and then obviously we'll have to empty our docket on Monday. Just a reminder to the audience and to the committee. With that, are there any other announcements before we get into today's calendar? Okay, we will start with a confirmation to the South Dakota Science and Technology Authority of Paul R. Kristen from Beadle County. That appointment, that confirmation is now open for public comment. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Tony Venhuizen with the Governor's Office. I'm here today to ask you to support the confirmation of Paul Kristen to the Science and Technology Authority. I know you have, as you mentioned, several bills today, so I'll keep this brief. Mr. Kristen asked me to let you know that he regrets he can't be here today. He and his wife, Donna, are celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary this week and are out of the state with their children. So I'll just tell you very briefly about him and then stand by for questions. Paul is a Mitchell native, graduated from Dakota Wesleyan University. He served in the Naval Reserve from 1947 to 1954. After he came back to the state, he made his home in Huron, where he started in commercial real estate and then eventually became the owner of First Western Bank, which is based in western South Dakota. He operated that business until 2008 when he sold his banking interests, and then in 2010 he sold the insurance side of that business. Paul is a member of the State Banking Commission. He was the founder and the first chairman of the South Dakota Community Foundation. He also served for several years as the chairman of the South Dakota State Investment Council. And you might be interested to know that from 1984 to 2003, he was part owner of the Minnesota Twins. So with that, I hope that you will consider his confirmation. I think he'd make a great member to the board, and we appreciate his willingness to serve.
Thank you. Further comments? Any other comments? Seeing none, any questions from the committee? Any questions? Seeing none, action.
Chairman.
Senator Adelstein.
I've had a long relationship with Mr. Kristen. He's very, very capable and a perfect appointee. I move that we advise and consent.
Second.
Thank you. Aside from the preparatory remarks, I will accept that motion. From Adelstein, seconded by Mark Johnson, to advise and consent an appointment of Paul R. The confirmation of Paul R. Kristen. Any further comments? Seeing none, the motion then is confirmation. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Ferris?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye. Motion carries.
It's dusty here.
Oh,
Is Mr. Johnson in the room? Dusty? We will, House Bill 1079, I am going to defer that until Monday. And also, House Bill 1108 will be deferred until Monday. With that, we will take up House Bill 1194, an act to establish the State of South Dakota Endowment Fund. House Bill 1194 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate State Affairs Committee, I appreciate your time and your consideration of House Bill 1194. I'm Hal Wick, State Representative from District 12, serving Sioux Falls and Tea. And this bill is introduced to help us as legislators to raise money for our use in the state and to give people in the state an opportunity to put money where they want to put it and designate it for specific things. And the idea comes from two things. When I had kids in grade school, non-public schools, the pastor came to me and said, can you help raise some funds for the schools? We need some things that we're going to buy. And I said yes. If I can take the first $25,000 each of the 2 years you want me to do this and put it into a trust fund, an endowment that will grow. And I argued with him extensively, but to make a long story short, he finally conceded, and 8 years later when he left, I was proven right because I said, if we start it, it'll grow. People will give money to things that will leave something that they care about and have it funded. And 8 years later, it had a little over $500,000 in it. And today, even after the bad market, it's still over $400,000 that's left. And it helps to fund the school. There's another reason for the bill, and that's a person that has spent a lot of time out here. But he has always complained that he didn't get taxed enough, didn't give enough to the state of South Dakota. And this would give him a way to put some money aside to help South Dakota the way he would most like to. And in the process and the amendments that have gone through, I think we have it now in a form that is set. And the endowment fund, it's actually the State of South Dakota Endowment Fund, would be established within the South Dakota Community Foundation. And the purpose is to provide a fund for any person who wishes to contribute to the endowment to further the excellent quality of life that is unique to this state. It would be administered by the South Dakota Community Foundation, which is something they do all the time. And any funds received from the State of South Dakota Endowment Fund shall be appropriated by the South Dakota Legislature. And for those of you that are just some of the facts behind the Endowment Fund, the South Dakota Community Foundation, they have $130 million in assets that are under management, more than 500 separate funds, and the earnings from the fund benefit all 66 counties in the state. And they also have the Capital Memorial Maintenance Fund. So all of the memorials on the Capitol grounds are taken care of by that fund. And they have the Governor's Residence Maintenance Fund as well, that's under their direction. They are also a 501c3, so it is tax deductible. And the thing that really makes them, to me, the better place to put this initially is that the our own investment council could only invest these dollars in the cash flow funds, and their rate of return is much lower than they would be in the South Dakota investment or in the South Dakota endowment fund, and that's managed by an investment council that's chaired by Steve Myers, whose record over the years is proven, And Matt Clark, who is also on the investment council, has been asked to serve, and he said that he would go over to also help keep an eye on things there. When this gets to be large enough, they would transfer it back to the investment council, and that's the intention of it, but it needs to be $50 million before they do that. It would be a place that things can grow. And I'll give you just two little examples, but in talking to one person that runs and then, you know, that ran a an organization that lived primarily off of the contributions, had somebody, and the person's in Rapid City that actually did this, but he came to the home out in Rapid and talked to the executive director, and when he left a check for $100. And a year later, he came back, and he left a check for $1,000. And a year after that, they asked the executive director, will you come out to the house, and we have something for you. And this is a pharmacist that had an invention that made some dollars. And when he went out to the house, he said, they always drove up in a very modest car. The home was very modest. And he got there, and they wrote him a check for $100,000. And I think there are people that would do that for South Dakota as well, because I think a perfect example is the dollars that were given for the Dussel. And there might be somebody out there that would like to fund that for a long period of time. So I would encourage your support, your positive vote. And with that, I'd stand by for questions.
Thank you. Further proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents? Any opponents to House Bill 1194? Seeing none, questions from the committee? Senator Adelstein.
A question for Representative Wick. Representative, I see that there is nothing in the bill now that would allow the donor to designate the purpose of the donation. Is that for a specific reason?
Thank you for the question. There's nothing in the bill because everything that is done would come under the present laws governing foundations and endowments. And it's I've got some of the pages that I don't have an actual answer, but I know it's in here to designation of it is within the foundation. It's like the funds that were designated for the Capitol Memorials and the governor's residence.
Ben, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Wick, I just pulled the bill up, the bill log up on the computer, and I see there were 10 no votes on the House floor. Just happened to notice they were, I believe every one of them were from the minority party. Can you, was there objection to this on some type of grounds that would be partisan in nature?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not that I know of. I didn't, I don't feel like it's a partisan bill in any way, shape, or form. It's for anybody to contribute for any purpose that they want that's been approved by the legislature.
Any other questions? Any other questions? Seeing none, we will thank you, Representative Wick. We will open the committee to discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnston.
I move do pass.
Second.
Motion by Johnston, do pass. Seconded by Senator Cutler. Comments on the motion? Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's a good idea, and I've thought about this from time to time, but never have found a way to make it work, and I applaud Representative Wick for bringing this forward, and I think it makes sense if there's folks who want to invest some of their resources and keep those funds not only in state, but also to help out our people here. I think it's good, so I hope we support the motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Adelstein.
I support the motion as well. There were some years ago when we were in the House together with Senator Wick, and we passed a bill to allow the specific endowments for individual schools, and he's already told us how well that worked.
Thank you. Any other comments? Motion then is do pass House Bill 1194. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Ferris?
Aye.
Barnos?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Grodin?
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1194 goes to the floor. Do pass. I am going to pull up from below the line House Bill 1230, an act to establish the Large Project Development Fund to provide for its administration and make an appropriation thereof. As a reminder to the committee, we heard testimony, went through the question phase, and then I deferred action. At an earlier meeting, we will now take it back up, and I would allow a little latitude if there's any other questions from the committee. Seeing none, we will move then to comments and or action on House Bill 1230. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move do pass for House Bill 1230.
Motion by Senator Olson.
Second.
Second by Senator Teason. Comments on that motion, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. You know, the other 10 months of the year that we're not out here doing the people's work, I get the pleasure of doing economic development in the state and have had great experiences trying to promote South Dakota and bring businesses to South Dakota. And, you know, I never mind missing a deal or losing a deal if for some reason or other the other state that we're competing with puts together a better proposal than we do. But at the end of the day, it's frustrating to get to that point where you're selling South Dakota and you're selling the tax climate and our workforce here and trying to keep people in South Dakota and keep them working here. And everything's equal with the other state that we're competing with. It's a 50-50 split. And at the end of the day, Iowa or Nebraska gets to puke up another $500,000 or throw down another $1 million to land that big company. And we lose it. I mean, if I'm a capitalist, and I appreciate that. If everything's equal, and at the end of the day, I get another $500,000, it's not equal anymore. And what 1230 does is it helps to give South Dakota that advantage, where we can then come back at the end of all other negotiations and plop down our little incentive and try to get those jobs for South Dakota. So I'd encourage your favorable support of 1230. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further comments, Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first off, I think we know that economic development, in this case, anything we can do to bring new opportunities that would not otherwise come here is a great effort. I think back to last year, I would hope there was a number of legislators that agreed that the pipeline really didn't deserve to receive any more rebates in terms of taxes, because we know they were coming anyways. And this is definitely a step in a more favorable direction, meaning we're going to be incentivizing those that would not come anyways to our state. So I think that's a great effort. However, the contractor's excise tax is a huge burden. That I think there's a number of us also that would agree that what can we do to either get rid of that contractor's excise tax, replace it someday? I think we'd sit down at the table and want to find a solution to that. Not at this stage of the game where we have obviously a budget to work through that has significant problems. When we look long term, though, you know, this contractor's excise tax rebate now, sure it was, somewhere in the neighborhood of $23 million is what they throw out as a figure. I think to my best estimations, though, we were somewhere in the upwards of $60 million in the last 15 years if you look at that full sheet. So we look at the full sheet as far as where these rebates have been given in the last 15 years, and then if we would multiply the $16 million tax break into the next 15 years, we're going to be at $250 million that's going to be given out of contractors' excise tax that normally would go to the general fund. And so we have to really look at comparing apples to apples. And in the last 16 years, if it was upwards of $60 million, and in the next 15 years, if it's going to be multiplied to be $250 million, we really have to look at that situation. Now, where the dollars come from? you know, there's a number of ways. I know it was brought up as far as the only way, or the, some of the way previous funds were established were due to a special sales tax, which was a special effort just to, you know, produce the dollars for that fund. You know, maybe there's other ways, but this is troubling to send a message to our local school districts, to our nursing homes, to know that, yes, I know this doesn't take effect till 2013, because the current program is good until the end of 2012. It sure is kind of a mixed message, though, that unless you're $5 million or larger, you'll get this tax break. Now, think about this situation of how we can have real economic development in our rural communities. And again, I applaud the efforts from the majority leader and his comments, and I know he works very hard in economic development. But think about the situation in terms of broadband, internet access to our folks in rural communities. You know, if you could actually incentivize a program to give a tax break on the contractor's excise tax that it costs to have broadband actually into the home or into the business of some of these rural communities, that's true economic development. You know, our people that want to have their high-speed internet capabilities taken care of, because that way they can do some telecommuting in terms of business opportunities, especially with their friends that may be down in the Dakota Dunes area. You know, I asked them, I said, I challenge you guys to look out across South Dakota and find ways that you can have true economic development in our rural communities. You know, so there's just one example where, say, if that would happen in 10 communities, collectively you might have $5 million of investment. But it's spread out across maybe it's 10, 20 different rural communities, which obviously those jobs, you know, are staying in South Dakota, and you're enhancing their gross domestic product in those local communities is huge opportunity. So I think it's well intended. I have some issues, not only where the funds are coming from, but secondly, as far as simply chasing these smokestacks when we can have our young people and more people moving back to our rural communities across South Dakota. I will respectfully disagree with the motion, and I look forward to further debate. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further comments on the do pass motion? Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion then is do pass on House Bill 1230. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Frericks?
No.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Brogan?
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1230 goes to the floor. Do pass. We will now go to House Bill 1141, an act to establish a date to begin absentee voting and to revise the deadline for the printing of ballots. House Bill 1141 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Tom Nelson, Senator from Lead, which is in District 31, which is Lawrence County. I bring to you 1141 on behalf of Secretary of State Gantt, because different counties have been conducting early voting or absentee voting on different days. The current law has in it 45 days, which always occurs on a Saturday. And very simply and very briefly, this establishes exactly when the ballots will be with the county auditor and when early voting can begin. It's that simple, and it will be weekdays, and it will be transparent, and I encourage your support of House Bill 1141. It's my understanding that it might have a slight amendment coming. I support that amendment, but I also encourage you also not to lose sight of the intent of 1141, and hopefully that will still stay paramount somewhere through the session. With that, members of the committee, Mr. Chairman, I will stand by for questions.
Thank you. Further proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents? Seeing none, questions? Seeing none, action and or comments? Senator Gray.
Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment. It is a Hoghouse amendment. If I could get the pages to distribute it, please. I'll pass those ones down. If you take it down this way. Thanks. Mr. Chairman, if I could move this amendment at this time, 1141 FA.
Motion. Motion to amend by Gray, seconded by Furix. Comments on the motion to amend? Senator Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment would essentially change our initiative law. You know, it's no surprise to most that we've talked about this, even in the media, about referrals and initiatives and things like that. Well, this would simply allow for an initiative to take place in a special election this November. It would require signatures to be due by the first Tuesday in August. It would then require a special election on November 8th. It is not prescriptive as to what that initiative looks like. So really, it could be anything, and obviously there can be some danger in that, though I will tell you that we do have an initiative process on the books right now. I think it has worked pretty well. I will grant you that there has been what I would consider some crazy initiatives by out-of-state groups, and so I certainly understand that argument. But really where I'm coming from on House Bill 1141, this amendment, is we have virtually anything we do in this legislature is referable. Smoking ban, referred. Abortion ban, referred. Any bill we pass up here is referable. It just is. When we take final action, the governor signs a bill, the people have an opportunity to do something different, except for our budget. And I am hearing the hue and cry from a lot of people out there, educators and Medicaid providers, people saying, you know what, it's time to do something different. And I realize completely, nobody wants to really talk about taxes up here. I don't really want to talk about taxes up here. You need a two-thirds vote in this body to pass a tax. You need it in both sides, and you need it twice. That's just the fact of the matter. And so the reality, folks, is that we're going to see an initiated measure probably for some sort of tax for the 2012 election. We are midway through another budget before we would actually get to vote on that. Now, frankly, I'm not necessarily convinced that something passes. And that's the beauty of it, is we let the people make a decision. That's been the great part about the initiated measure process, is the people make a decision. They have voted down bad ideas before, and they've voted in ideas. They have voted down an inheritance tax. They have voted up a tax on cigarettes. And so the people get to decide. If they say, you know what, we want to pay a little bit more because we can't stand the idea of cutting our schools and cutting our nursing homes, they can do that. If they say, no, we don't want to, then you know what? We pass a budget, and we're all vindicated for the budget we passed. And so I call this a relief measure, a relief valve measure. I think it's appropriate this year and only this year. And I would just ask for the committee support. Thank you.
Further comments on the motion to amend? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. I'm going to ask you to oppose the amendment. It's my firm belief that the only thing that happens fast is an accident, and we have a longstanding procedure for referring measures to the voters. And I would caution the members of this committee and my good friend that's proposing the amendment that the crazies are the ones that are out there with the money. And they are sitting waiting for opportunity to come and take advantage of our election process in South Dakota. This gives only 5 weeks for members of the committee, or members of what I call the frontline crew, that have to go out and defeat those initiated measures from the crazies every year. And they don't. 5 weeks isn't enough time for us to pass the hat to put up an effort to start the rationale for defeating a measure. And I'm not talking about truly letting the people decide whether they want to increase their taxes for Medicaid or education or for our state employees. I believe that that's a totally separate issue. I'm talking about funding an attack against the crazies, as the good senator put it. You know, there's a lot of people from all over the world that have money sitting around waiting for opportunities to get their foot in the door in a state, because then they can come back in front of other state legislatures and say, we've already passed this in South Dakota. We've passed it in Tennessee. We've passed it in Kentucky. And then it starts to grow. So I'm not going to beat this thing up any more than that. I'm going to ask the members of the committee to oppose the amendment and go back to the original bill.
Further comments, Senator Garnos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I would ask you to support this. I think there are good reasons on both sides, depending where you fall on this, but I think you also have to look, we haven't talked about it, in the context of where we're at in the history of the state of South Dakota in terms of the proposed cuts. You know, I certainly respect where that comes from. I certainly respect both sides of the aisle on this issue in terms of where they come from. But historically, we haven't had something proposed like this. In my opinion, common sense has always ruled South Dakota and the people of South Dakota when they make decisions on this and when they put this into play. I think it's viable in terms of it would be a one-time possibility to do this. And again, I just think you have to look in the context of the people. I mean, they ultimately make this decision, the discussion, step up. I think it's a good idea to move this forward. And again, you know, we make decisions up here every day that what we decide to invest in, and I'm not saying there aren't other avenues at this time, but this is one of the many ideas we've talked about up to this point, and I would offer the committee to pass it. Thank you.
Further comments, Senator Teason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, we have a republic for a good reason. People elect us as representatives to come to peer and do the people's business and to sort things out, take complex issues, listen carefully, and make decisions that are best made here by us rather than by individual citizens. There's a couple of exceptions to that, however, and I think that there's appropriate times to have initiatives and a couple of criteria, at least in my mind, for that. First of all, that the issue to be settled is a simple one, something that people can read within a paragraph on a ballot and understand and make a good decision. Hence, it's not necessarily needed to be heard at length in the Capitol. It's something that people can understand easily. And secondly, that it's a very important issue, something that's of great importance to the people, that they will take an interest in it and they'll understand what it is, and it'll be important enough that they're willing to come and vote on it. Again, that's an overview of my feelings about initiatives. Obviously, what we're proposing to do here with this amendment is to set up a sort of a special window for an initiative. And based on the criteria that I just explained, I think that it's time to open that window and allow that opportunity. And so I intend to support the motion. Thank you.
Further comments on the motion to amend? Sir Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I really thank Senator Gray for bringing this amendment forth. As we've evidenced in committee here, it isn't always that maybe Senator Gray or even on the floor, we may not always agree, but that's the cool thing about where we're at here in South Dakota is there are certain issues where differences can come together, and this is one example. I think he is on the right track. I've not only witnessed that in some of his discussions on the floor. I don't mean to put words in his mouth, but I know he has talked about we have to look at all options, and that was evidenced on the floor when we had our crossover day. And this is just one more tool that can be provided. Today is the Stand Up for Education Day here in the Capitol. I've already had three different school districts from up in northeast South Dakota I've been in touch with. The folks from Summit, and I wish I would have brought their straw ballot up here, but they sent out a straw ballot to 300 people in Summit. Now, for some of you, you probably try to avoid the Summit area due to the weather, but at the same token, you know there aren't very many people that live around Summit, but you know what? They're very proud of their athletic teams up there, and that's what's keeping their school alive. But they sent it out to 300 people. 100 people responded, and over 90% of those people said they would like to see some sort of a tax increase on the state level to fund education. And I think that is just one more example. We know Milbank has their effort that they would have to have for petitions. This is a step, I think, in the right direction. I hope that the committee will agree that we can respect our voters. If the voters do not want to pass whatever initiative may come up in front of them, I hope there'll be a number of initiatives that will come forward that will be good, solid possibilities on how we can fix this budget crisis that we're in right now. And to say that outside interests are going to come in and try to rule our state and somehow coerce our voters, I don't agree with that. We have very smart individuals who are out there that take the time to cast their ballot. We have a high percent of people that show up to vote here in South Dakota, and they take their time to understand the issue. If they don't understand the issue, they vote no. Vote no is status quo, and I think that's pretty simple to understand. I support this effort and hope that we can send it down to the floor for some good discussion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Olson, for the comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, just this last week, the Senate passed a bill that will give some additional funding to our counties, townships, and cities for their roads, and much needed, I think, arguable money for that. And they've waited in line a long time to get that support. And here we are, talking about a special election. I mean, think about the counties for just a moment. Every one of us just said that these guys are broke, and now we're putting money back into roads for them. Who's going to pay for this? You know, it's going to cost $500,000, I've been told, to hold these special elections. Who's going to pay for that?
Further comments? Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I thank the good Senator from Madison for reminding me also. You know, some people may wonder, well, this last election, we know the voters spoke and that they don't want new taxes. Well, I think this dealing with the counties and the license plate revenue is an example. So it sails through the South Dakota House, over on the House side, which is known for having a considerable amount of Tea Party folks who got elected and are represented there. And so here's an example where we can allow the people to vote. I think it's a good effort, and I hope we can support the effort.
Further comments? Any other comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, just a couple comments. First, just to rebut my friend and leader here, you really have 5 weeks to file the petitions, and so a very short window. You have 3 months to talk about the bill for open debate, for opponents to come out, 3 full months from August through November. And so there is a little more time. I would grant you not. It's certainly a different timeline than our typical initiated process. But I do have great faith in the people of South Dakota to distinguish and to choose what they want, what they do not want. In terms of the cost, I think certainly that's something that we need to visit with our friends at the counties about. I think that's a valid question. Frankly, I feel a little bit better about this having passed. What was it, 1192, having passed the bill for the counties this week. But that's something I think we'd have to sit down and have a candid conversation with Mr. Wilcox and his group about, and I think that's a fair question.
Further comments on the motion to amend? Well, I would make just a couple closing comments on this motion because it is a hoghouse amendment, and so will for all intents and purposes be final action aside from the formality. And I wanted to comment because I come down firmly on both sides of the issue on this one. Senator Olson and Senator Gray have both brought out some very legitimate points, and I think they're very legitimate. We talked about how South Dakota has intelligent voters. Well, I agree with that point. I think they are very intelligent. But just because you're an intelligent voter does not mean you are an informed voter. And that issue does give me pause because in South Dakota, with our initiated measure, if you have $50,000 rattling around in your pocket, and that is not a lot of money for these huge corporations that can come in and
and put an issue on the ballot in a hurry. And I think I'm gonna tell somebody to hold my calls. And I think in this case, that does give me some concern. Although this is a brief issue, I think that that it is a valid concern. All that being said, I think that this is a discussion that should be continued. And this committee hearing is obviously not the place to do it. This is a bill, a House bill, so just by virtue of our process, obviously it has a long way to go to meet final approval, and that'll give us plenty of opportunity to vet it through the system. And for those reasons, I think it's at the minimum worth further discussion. Any other comments? Seeing none, this is a motion to amend. It's a voice vote. All those in favor of the motion to amend will say aye.
Aye.
Oppose nay?
No.
Motion carries. 1141 is so amended.
How do you know how I feel?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gray.
Would move to pass in House Bill 1141 as amended.
Second. Motion to pass 1141 as amended by Gray, seconded by Senator Johnston. Further comments on that motion?
Senator Chairman, Gray. I think we've had the debate on this already, and just ask for your support.
Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion then do pass as amended, House Bill 1141. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Senator Edelstein?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Olson?
No.
Roden?
No. Motion carries. House Bill 1141 goes to the floor. Do pass as amended. We have a title amendment. Do you move that at this time?
1141 FTA.
Motion, title amendment by Gray, second by Frerichs. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The title is so amended. I am. That will bring us to the end of today's agenda. We will hold further action on House Bill 1233. And again, we have deferred House Bill 1079 and 1108 until Monday. With that, before we leave, we've got some young people. Do you have somebody that can tell us where you're from? Stand up and introduce yourself. The Newell Seniors?
Yeah, we're the senior body.
Why don't you all stand up?
All 16 of us.
Thanks for joining us. Any of you young ladies from the Newell basketball team?
Yeah.
How many of you on the basketball team? I've heard rumors that you're invincible. Is that accurate? Well, congratulations. Any other schools or organizations young people recognize? We had some folks that left earlier. From yes.
I'm Rochelle Norbert. Most of you might know me. I was a Page first term. This is the third time I've been up here. My brother Landon and I are here. We're from the Burke School District. And Kim and I spent our senior class with her. We had 20. I smell like we beat you guys.
Well, welcome back to your state capital. Anybody else? Any other announcements for the committee? Seeing none, we will see you all back here on Monday. Pardon me? Motion to adjourn by Garnos, seconded by Adelstein. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Meeting is adjourned.